As we've mentioned today, the Australian share markets bounced back off the back of the Rudd government's decision to guarantee all bank deposits. At lunchtime, the market was up about 6%, did ease a bit. Short time ago, it was up about 3.5%. In fact, it was up 168 points a moment ago, which is a lift of around 4.3%. We had that massive fall, of course, last Friday, so that looks like a good result. What we've seen over the past week, though, is you have a good day, and then around about midnight, the US markets open, and it's all red ink. So where are we going with this, and what should shareholders be doing? It is the big question. So I thought we'd go to the noted shareholder activist Stephen Mayne, who I think in his writings on Crikey.com has confessed that he's taken a bit of a hit in recent time. He's on the line. Stephen, good afternoon to you.
Yeah, hi, John. Yeah, I'm down 100 grand.
Well, and I saw that the other day, and you also said, I hope the wife doesn't read this. I'm not sure you can keep that much of a loss a secret.
Yes, like a lot of blokes out there, I've been having some grief, and I've just been pointing to the headlines and saying, look, everyone's copping it. Yeah. So, but I also say, look, the market's down 42%, you know, almost hundreds of billions of dollars have been wiped out since last November. It can't go any lower. I mean, it's just how cheap can it get? And personally, I reckon Friday was the low, and you just can't keep plunging that far that fast. At some point, it becomes great value, and I think today's 4.3% bounce, which recovered half of the losses on Friday, is perhaps the first sign, and we're seeing a similar early positive moves coming out of Europe.
Okay, coming out of Europe, and then if that continues in the US, are we going to have cause to say that maybe we're on the road to sorting this mess out, or is it much more deep-seated than that?
Well, I think there is a deep-seated issue of the world's been living way beyond its means, having a crazy debt-funded party for years, and that's got to stop, and people have got to stop borrowing, and you know, we're borrowing $60 billion a year in foreign debt in Australia to fund our current account deficit. But equally, I think the world is settling upon a formula to resolve the immediate crisis, and that is basically government bailouts, government guarantees of deposits, guarantees of future lending, and where necessary, straight-out nationalisations. And I think in the next hour or two, we're going to see the British government come out and actually probably nationalise the two great Edinburgh-based Scottish banks, HBOS and Royal Bank of Scotland, which I mean date back to the 1600s and 1700s in terms of when they were set up. So history is being made with venerable institutions being wiped out. That will continue to happen, but emerging from the wreck will be a functioning credit market, albeit with a heck of a lot of government control and ownership.
Yeah, and so it's government control and ownership in most parts of the world. I guess we might, if it goes the way it's going at the moment, we might be one of the few countries in the world with not a huge amount of government ownership in our banking system.
Well, that's right. Well, we used to have government-owned banks left, right and centre, but they were sold during the 1990s. Now we've been able to limit it to just a government guarantee. And I think that government guarantee on deposits and future offshore borrowing will stop the likes of Bank of Queensland or Bendigo Bank having to be taken over by the majors. So I think the way the government has stepped in, it is still a form of nationalisation to lend your AAA credit rating to literally more than 100 institutions so they can borrow more cheaply. That's an element of nationalisation, but ultimately, you know, that's not long term. It will only be there for a while. And hopefully we can retain a wholly privatised system, which will be different to most parts of the world, it looks.
Who would have been buying today at the practical level?
Oh, I think just superannuation funds, wealthy investors. I mean, you have to remember that in America and in Australia, more than half of total homes are owned outright. So there's a lot of people out there with 100% of equity in their homes, plus an ability to super funds and invest. And there's a bit of a view emerging that it's amazingly cheap. I mean, you know, and why would you stay in cash, John, when interest rates are crashing? I mean, you're going to see another cut in official interest rates next month.
That's right.
Soon you're only going to be earning 4 or 5% in term deposits and things like that. So at some point, the value does emerge, and fortunes are made from people who buy up big in dark days, and I think that's the view of an emerging number of people.
Yeah, and we've got these drops today, Westpac and the NAB, significant drops in their fixed rate mortgages. It seems they can't offer them for love or money, because there's the expectation that they're going to go lower than that, lower than 6.9%.
You'd be a mug to lock in a fixed rate at, you know, 7% at the moment. I mean, the ultimate scenario, if things keep getting worse and worse, well, governments will continue to cut and cut and cut interest rates. And, you know, we'd finish up being like Japan, where official interest rates are only 0.5%. So our government's still got a fair bit of, few more things they can play in this battle, and I think one of them, which everyone expects, is that we will not continue to have ridiculously high interest rates that are way above the rest of the world.
Yeah, the issue down the track, and this is probably some years down the track, is if from this wreckage we emerge with a much slimmer banking system and much less competition, that's when the pressure might come on to see whether we're being ripped off again.
Well, our big four banks, we already suffer the world's most expensive banking system. I mean, no other consumers pay.
At the moment, we're quite happy about that, probably, aren't we?
For the first time in a decade, it's actually now a good thing, because it's stopping the governments having to bail out and nationalise. But equally, I think around the world, I mean, the financial services companies in Australia comprised 42% of our total stock market last year. And the global average was only 28%. Now, I think what you're going to see with the final wash-up from this whole thing is that banks are going to be worth a lot less, and the financial services companies are going to become a much smaller part of the economy. So there might only be, say, 15% of the global stock market in the future, down from 30%. So there's going to be a hell of a lot of value destruction, wealth destruction, for anyone who owned bank shares around the world. In some countries, it's going to disappear to zero with nationalisation. In Australia, it's down by more than $100 billion, the value of our banks, since last November. And I think that you will see the Rudd government get tough on the big four banks next year when things settle down, because people are sick of paying huge fees to their banks. And if these banks are getting a government guarantee now, well, you know, why should your typical big bank CEO be earning $6 or $7 million bucks a year, which is what happens at the moment? So I think the pressure will be on banks all over the world going forward, and Australia won't be any different from that.
Stephen Mayne, as always, great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Stephen Mayne, you can read him on crikey.com.au. He was the founder, and he has the Mayne Report as well, and he's got some thoughts there, and at least he's honest about it, like plenty of other people. He has lost a fair bit in the fall on the market over the last couple of weeks.